Hello and welcome to the Leaders Council podcast with me, Joshua Jackson. Now, as regular listeners will know, this podcast is all about hearing from authentic leaders from across the country, gaining an understanding of the mindsets of the people that get up each day and make this country work. Today, I'm speaking with Circle Steele, the CEO of the YIN Society. Circle, welcome onto the show.
Okay, thank you, Joshua. My name is Circle Steele. Yes, I'm originally from Hong Kong. I was raised in a single parent family. My mom's a widow, and my father died of terminal cancer. So I learned to endure hardship and the poverty when supporting our siblings in Hong Kong at that time, a very long time ago. So I became involved working for community work, children, young people work at that time in Hong Kong. So I was married my husband in Hong Kong, so we moved to Manchester and settled here. I remember I was the first female youth worker, youth leader, to win the Business Diverse Award for enable young people, Chinese young people in employment. That's a long time ago. And I recently, a CEO at YIN Society, which provide this organization provide support and has empowered workers in partnership with Chinese community and other diverse communities across country, and not just Manchester. And also we work a lot strategic partnership with local authority, health authority, and to raise a lot inequality, charity, a lot inequality in our sector. That's where we are. Thank you.
Brilliant. That sounds very exciting. And it's going to give us a lot to talk about, actually. Not only your work within the YIN Society, but also, obviously, you know, that your upbringing as well and how that's reflected in the work that you do today. We, from my conversations with people, a lot of it comes down to how they were raised, their thoughts, their viewpoints that's made them the leaders that they are today, go into the type of work that they do. And I just want to let regular listeners, some regular listeners may remember, but some people new to the show may not, that you've actually appeared before. You spoke to my colleague Matthew back under the COVID, when the COVID situation was going on. There were all the lockdowns and the back and forth and a lot of difficulty. So one of the key themes that you were talking about last time was the isolation, the loneliness of the people that you work alongside and the community that you work within. How now we can look back, has that affected everybody, yourself included?
Yes. Look back. I remember that is beginning of the lockdown and the interview started. And now I'm not sure it's post COVID, yeah? We still COVID around. So the challenge for the community is huge, okay? I think something is what we learn, reflect on our experience, is the resilience. The resilience and the solidarity, you ask me, is I most value that, okay? It's very, very challenging. We are the minority organization. All our youth, English second language. And not only loneliness, isolation, a lot. Communication barrier, anxiety, and the fear. It's uncertainty at that time when the government say you have to lock down, and then we face uncertainty, COVID, and then people die. We have faced people die in the community, and this I think this most hit hard for myself and for my team, and we carry on the demand. The demand is the because a lot is locked down, and then a lot of organizations shut their door because of furlough. So every referral coming through for certain organization, we never close our door. So my team's very proactive. We'll do as much as we can. We've got to go out, reach out, deliver some of the essential resources. What I'm saying, apart from the nurse and doctor in the hospital frontline, the volunteer organization like us, those small charity, they play a very vital, important role during that pandemic time and to support some of the family in a crisis, not only for resources, not only isolation, their mental health, well-being, their even the food quality. I don't believe you can deliver a lot food parcel, not only the food parcel, because some of the community, they're more on the cultural food, hot food, like Chinese community, African Caribbean community, they have different cultural food they want. So we tailor-made, slightly adjust more hot food to deliver to them. apart from digital poverty, we have able to get some device tablet for them to communicate to their family member. Mm. First time I heard the older man laughing, saying, oh, I can talk to my granddaughter. So we need a little bit anxiety at the time. Yeah. Now, this is that as time goes by, we have different response for emergency, but something we look at more I value is the solidarity. We suddenly come together, not just Y-Yin is a Chinese community, the other charity from Middle East, from South Asian, from Pakistan, from African, Caribbean, from Jewish, we come together, look at some of the mental health support, culture appropriate for our own community, respond some of the anxiety. Mm. We put that way, anxiety and mental health issues. So we are really treasure that partnership, and then we still carry on even after COVID.
I was going to say that is actually what I found a lot has happened throughout COVID. It strengthens some of the bonds between community. It hasn't isolated people. Obviously, people were alone for a long period, especially during the lockdowns. But during that time, people found ways to communicate. And it is so important that you address that idea of the sort of digital poverty as well, providing people the technologies and the training sometimes, because, you know, older members of society wouldn't know how to get onto Teams or to Zoom or to video chat. And the fact that you took that, as well as doing you know, the mental health calls, the going around, the food parcels and everything, must have meant so much to the people that you were working with.
Yes. It means a lot, because I call collected, not abandoned. You know, when the door shut, a lot community members think we abandon them, especially for the older generation, their lonely isolation. And then even me wearing all the gear with my team, go extra mile, we do go extra mile to deliver to them. And I saw one of the lady, she's 100 years old on her own. Wow. She don't need a carer. She only opened the door, we just give her some Dragon Ball dumping. Okay, this Dragon Ball festival. It means a lot to them. I just very funny. She said, Tan Geng Lei, call me my Chinese name, Manager Chen. Okay. So I saw her, you're all well, we're all well. So we just keep a social distance. We don't want to pass anything. But this moment means a lot to us, actually. And of course, the leadership is important. How you leading the organization, leading the staff. Okay. And then the staff team is very important. They ask me the credit to my staff. We all willing to go extra mile, yes, to helping some of the vulnerable people, queuing up for them, for parcel. They even go to their door outside the door, show them the tablet. Even my colleagues sit in the car and show them, use it. Because some of the more complex family domestic violence, they're on the court case. So they just outside the door, we can't go in. So when they're on the court, we are calling to translate. So we just outside in the car, make sure anything happens, just go outside the door, call us. Of course, we can't go in, it's social distance. So some of the colleagues riding a bicycle deliver some of the very important documents for them to sign. The post office calls, our door calls, the post office take a long time for them to queue up. So this is very, very challenge day-to-day life we are work with. Then you ask me, the resilience is very challenge for us not to give up, okay? Sometimes we may face challenge for me that some of the commissioners say China is not a priority according to national statistics. I was in tears in my heart, okay, in the Zoom meeting. But you keep going back to fight the corner in 2 days' time. I want to put the proposal. Can you give me some emergency funds? And then we work at the end. So I just say not to give up so easily. I say to you before, my mom's single parent, we brought up in the very a hardship life. I understand when the people in this country, people, one of the family, one of the food, or the digital, the communication, that voice got to be come out, and then the support, this tiny support means a lot to the people. Yep. So I said, we're not abandoning them. So yeah, that's the time we pass by. Okay. Of course, you ask me how the country understand the pandemic. I still think they are incompetent. You ask me even now today, from the beginning, and lockdown, and so many people die, and then so many people in our community die without PPE, and then some of the health professionals die. Even we know them, we work with them, they are consulting in certain hospital. That kind of news coming through from time to time. And we have to manage the staff bereavement, okay? We have lose some of the community members, like our community. Then, of course, the funeral restriction, all this we have to follow. And then we decide to use the Song Memorial. Now, I've never done this before. It's an innovative way. And then finally, we've done one. And then the second one, it seems the community member want to say goodbye properly in our own culture. Yep. Okay? So we innovate different things. And emotionally, even still today, it's not going to get away because we're still hearing the time people die. COVID, where some of the Hong Kong BNO people arrive, additional demand for us to welcome them. And then some sad story, just say a parent arrived within 2 weeks, end up in ICU for COVID, and they passed away. I say,
that's very sad.
That is, that's very sad. They just coming migrated. Of course, it's not many. I'm sure the country is not more than that, but just even though we hear one people die, we're not happy. Actually, okay, very sad. Not just about the parent come across to come over. So that's where we are, the challenge of the COVID.
Yeah, it did a lot. And you've just gone through so many different things that I would love to explore there. You know, it was all about, you know, just to sort of recap a little bit, you know, the resilience of your team, the fact that you all stood up, nobody gave up, everybody was pushing forwards, making sure that the community was being looked after, that you'd made these community partnerships, that you opened up your doors not just to the people that you were working with, but everybody that needed you, and everybody, you were there to be able to be relied upon, which is a real credit circle to you and everybody at the YEN Society. It is exactly what we love to hear at the Leaders Council, and I'm sure what all of the leaders that are tuning into this will also appreciate, the fact that you can't do things alone and you do need organizations to stand up
and collaborate
and do what you have done. Now, I don't want to, you know, sort of breeze over the difficulties and the issues that were going on throughout the COVID period, but I think it's quite important for us to talk about what life is like now for people. Have you found that there has been improvements for you, or have things gone easier, or are they still in that period of hardship?
No, well, I think the hardship is still existing, because I think we are going to economic recession, okay? So now we can see the real poverty or the cost of living crisis, okay? Even some of the people we talk about eating and heating, okay? So in our contact, some of the user, and they still have that kind of anxiety, because we come out COVID now, we do face-to-face people and more confident come out to the community, enjoy some of the activity. But some of the demand we're looking into is about more people coming to us for how to saving this, how about food, and then they say in the winter people are coming sit in the library, save my heating bill. Okay, now we are having this cost of living crisis since come across everywhere. So we come from the COVID for the poverty for artists. Let's talk about cost of living. And then now the real challenge is the sustainability for the next 3 years. We are the sector chasing funding all the time. We may be faced local authority cuts, and then we go on to get in the lottery grant, sustain some ourselves go more than 4 years. So I think we are not only one looking at more long term sustainability to help the community member get through post COVID, get through the cost crisis living. So that's another angle we are facing. And then at the moment, you ask me, yes, I'm facing that, because all our contract we don't know beyond 2023. Some is very good, or the beyond. Some is not. Okay, so every time we are the charity, volunteer organization, not only me, I think the other community leader same. So I will understand local authority, because all the cutback from the local authority, we will be one of the we can't avoid. So we have been for different strategy and different diverse resources to sustain different needs. Okay, and also during the COVID, I'm sure a lot. Manchester's where diversity, a lot of sectors set up CIC. They also face different different issue.
Mm.
So it's like the pot so like that, and then everybody wants to share. So I absolutely understand. So that is the me to go on to diverse our resources, different different angle to make sure that stability can cause that cause living crisis to winter, because coming to winter, I'm sure from October onward, that will be hitting more people.
Yes, and
so
nothing.
So we have to think forward.
Yeah. Nothing is ideal right now. We've just come out of, as you rightly mentioned, the COVID situation, which caused so much hardship for so many people, eating through their savings, unfortunate bereavements, having to deal with loss. Now we have, you again, correct, the cost of living crisis, as it's obviously being termed, and the issues around the world which are impacting on prices here at home. And there's very little that any individual can do to wave a magic wand and hope that there is an answer. But these answers do need to come. We have the leadership election right now, which for you, again, when you're looking for funding for future, is going to be making a lot of difference. And it's going to be really important who is the leader of the country going forwards, because it's going to make a huge impact on organizations like yours across the country when it comes to access to funding. And do you, if there was one thing that you needed in a hypothetical situation in the perfect world, is it money? Is it more volunteers? Is it just a bit more freedom to do what you can?
I think you ask me, is that we able to make some decision together? It's like an ownership. I keep saying ownership because we seem like a minority. We only take sometimes a decision with, they would say 10% or 20%. What I say is that we are able on the table only 15% decision making. Okay. That will change the situation, okay? No matter on the policy or resource or funding or volunteering, because that will make a huge difference. Because we're sitting here waiting for them to make decision and tell us what's the priority. Instead of I sit on the table and say, look, we want this as a priority. We want, for example, from 3-year grant to 5-year grant, that will make other sector more sustainability. Yeah. So you're on the table putting 50% ownership. Of course, you ask me if I don't have some of the resources, some of the service maybe you'll cut. But from my angle is I will fight every corner until the end. that's my style, okay? It won't just take, that's the situation. You have to take it or leave it, okay? But yeah. I'll just say, I can always renegotiate and propose. That can work, okay? And some sort of the partnership. The partnership, real partnership. I'm talking about when you're on the table, people think you're a minority voice, or you can propose your stuff, see whether we would like it or not. No, but I just say whoever people listen, either they are the leader or they are similar my role or something is a nothing is very definitely.
Yep.
You say it's 1 p.m. and I will change the other p.m., another p.m. So if you still got a hope, you think this proposal work for the people, you are fundamental from the ground, is they're making their difference. So I won't give my hope to carry on to campaign champion to ask for. That's the spirit there. I mean, I haven't talked about that. Champion spirit,
And one of the things that we like to talk about on this podcast is leadership. It's asking people what they think are their personal attributes, but I'm not going to ask that of you today, Circle, because I think people are able to hear your attributes here. It's been the willingness to go beyond, the willingness to get up and to help your community under the most difficult circumstances, the ability to bring your team alongside you, which shows the respect that they have for you, the drive and the influence that you're obviously giving out. And then now you're looking ahead as well to the safeguarding of the YEN society, the safeguarding of your society and trying to get this funding. And now you demonstrate a new style of leadership, which is the inability to give up, the ability to continue to strive for, again, your staff, your team, your community, and other communities as well by being that example. And you know what? That is exactly what we want to hear, you know. And you, rather than, as I say, from hearing it this time, you've just demonstrated it in everything
that you've said.
Thank you.
You did a good summary. Yeah?
Thank you. Now, you know, as one of the things that I always like to do towards the end of these discussions is to ask how you think what you're going to be doing over the next 6 months to a year. Do you have any new programs in place? Do you have any new partnerships? Do you have any anything going on that you'd like to talk about, you'd like to explain to everybody?
Yes, yeah, I think very interesting. The new partnership, we cooperate a lot with the university, actually. This time of year, so many universities approach me for partnership, for co-application, for design, some of the research proposal, which is amazing, actually. Some looking for the cancer. I talked about a couple of universities already, from London University, of course, different Cardiff University, Leicester University, Hull University, Manchester University.
Oh, wow.
So, we always have a 3 or 6 proposal here. But what changed is that now, some of the research proposal, we're able to say 15% out co-applicant. We are co-applicant. So we are able to build a proposal together and we also get the resources, even our time, the delivery model different. Because previously, a couple of years ago, they just contacted us for find some user for them to interview. But I said, oh no, we need to be able to build more bigger partnership impact to the community. And then they are very willing. And then we established very, very good relationship. So some of the excited innovation proposal already go in. Some still working on, but it's a new, for me, it's a new way of working.
Yep.
Because I also, a couple of months ago, the health research authority approached me to work on their launch, their strategy. So they asked me my quotation. Yeah, I'll give the quotation. I think to be inclusive, to be community engagement, community empowerment. So I, at the UN, also co-chair with the chief executive professor on the launch UN. This is also new for them as well. They may not feel comfortable or they're comfortable with a co-chair with the community leader. But that's the way we should, the research for community to trust. Yeah, they should decide the community, the research should be community more easy to access.
Yep.
The community member trust the youth, community member trust the community. So that's different way. That's how research effort is very big in the country. So they are changed the way working together. This I really love to enjoy that happened a few months ago. So I think in the next 6 months or next financial year, I'm looking for more and more research to be successful from our core to work together as a real partner, a co-applicant for the service, the community. Yeah.
Well, that sounds very exciting, being able to be partners with all of these universities, doing research, opening up these new proposals, and being a key player in, you know, unearthing some of the better ways to help communities, which is exactly, again, the resounding theme across this podcast. But, you know, Circle, it would be great to have you back on the show, you know, once you've got some of these, you know, research pieces done, and we'll be happy to spread them out far and wide when you're able to pass them on to us as well. You know, we'll use our contacts. It's exactly what the Leaders Council does, you know, puts people together to learn from each other. Now, if just before we finish up, if people wanted to find out more about you or the YEN Society, where would they be going?
Oh yeah, they can go to the website www.yen.org or go to our Twitter @yencws. Okay, but you can email me directly circle_steel@yen.org. My circle is circle and square underscore steel STEELE. So they can contact me directly or go to our website, contact me, email me, any Yes, well, welcome to make friends. That's what we think, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I'll put all of those links and your contact details in the description of this podcast. So anybody that does want to get in touch with Circle, please do. But Circle, thank you ever so much for coming back onto the show. It's been great to hear from you a little bit more in depth to find out what you've been doing, how you've been doing it, and how you're looking to the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Joshua.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.